Good morning. Good morning. Pam stole all the thunder out of the scripture. You did a great job. Today's scripture reading is on page 769 in your pew Bible. It is from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of the very high mountain where they were alone. You said that. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter reacted all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And they were coming down from the mountain. He ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the human one had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Bob. And so as I mentioned just a little bit ago, this is the last Sunday before Lent. The last Sunday before Ash Wednesday. A time of preparation. A time in which we are to ready our hearts and minds to receive the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To prepare our hearts and minds to receive the greatest gift that He has ever given to us. That He died upon a cross. And He took upon Himself the sins of the entire world, my sins, your sins, everyone's sins. He took them upon himself, died a sinner's death, and has given us the gift of eternal life. This is, without a doubt, the greatest gift that we've ever received. Something that we can't even begin to imagine or fathom. The greatest gift we will ever understand and ever receive. And I think the truth of the matter is if we really take that gift to heart, do we do that? Do we really internalize? Do we know deep in our core just how incredible this gift of grace really is that Jesus has given us? But today we remember the Transfiguration. You've already heard a lot about it, but I want to give you a little bit of perspective about the Transfiguration. What I want you all to really think about and to focus on as we talk about what happened during the Transfiguration, I want you to focus on the reactions of Peter, James, and John. Put yourself in their shoes for the moment. What were they going through? What must have been in their minds when all this was happening? And so I want to rewind just a little bit, and I want to go to the beginning. Transfiguration. It's a mouthful, isn't it? It's a real fancy theological word. And Pam gave us a really good definition, and I'm going to expand on it just a little bit. Transfiguration comes from a Greek word, which is metamorpho, which simply means to change or to transform. And that's what Jesus did, right before the eyes of Peter, James, and John. So I want to give you a little bit of background about what was going on. And so Jesus, with Peter, James, and John, go up to a high mountaintop. It doesn't say in the Bible where that was, but it just says that they go to a very high mountaintop. And so they make their way up there. And so there's a reason that Jesus has Peter, James, and John go up to this high mountaintop. And the reason why is because it is not meant for everyone to see at this point. It's just for their eyes. Just for Peter, James, and John. It was their private invitation to see this. And so Mark chapter 2, as Bob just read, begins in this way. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And Clorox can't even come close to the brightness and the power of what they saw. Something amazing. And so there before them was Elijah and Moses. And there Jesus was having a conversation with them. And so think about this. Think about what the disciples must have been experiencing at that point. Their jaws, I'm sure, were all the way to the ground. That they didn't know what to say. They were stuttering and stammering with each other. They didn't know what was going on. And so they saw Jesus having this conversation with Moses and Elijah. And so Peter, James, and John have heard about Moses and Elijah. They know who these people are. They've heard about them since their childhood. And so here they are seeing Moses, the man who led their people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and on their way to the promised land, standing right there before them. And then here on the other side is Elijah. Elijah, who many in the Jewish community believed was the Messiah, the person who would come again. And there Jesus is, having a conversation with them. They were in awe. Peter, James, and John were shocked in complete and utter disbelief. And so I'm curious, because it doesn't say in the scripture here, it doesn't tell us how long Jesus was there talking to Moses and Elijah. It doesn't tell us, but I kind of get the sense that it must have been a little while. Because Peter, James, and John, they were kind of standing there, they're kind of off in the distance, and they were watching all of this occur. And Peter was trying to think, maybe I should make myself useful. Maybe there's something I ought to be doing while all this is going on. You know, have you ever had that feeling when you're somewhere and you feel like you should be doing something, but you don't know what you're supposed to be doing? Have you ever felt that way? Well, Peter's feeling that way right now, so he's got to make up something. And he says, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And verse 6 even says, he didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. He had to figure out something to do. And I think the reality is that Peter, James, and John didn't understand. They didn't understand what was going on and why this transfiguration was happening in the first place. He just thought that Jesus was having a conversation with Moses and Elijah, but it was so much more. I think that Peter, James, and John were seeing Moses and Elijah on equal footing with Jesus. That these equals were having a conversation. But the whole point of the transfiguration was to show that Jesus is more than Moses. That Jesus is more than Elijah. That Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah who has came into the world to save us from our sins. That's the whole point of the transfiguration, was so that Peter, James, and John could see for themselves who Jesus really is. That he really is the Son of God, who he has said he has been, the Messiah, who he has said he has been all along. And so God wants to make sure that they get this point. He wants to make absolutely sure that they know. So not only is Jesus there in dazzling white, sharing his divinity, talking to Moses and Elijah, but God himself breaks through the clouds. And you hear his voice through the clouds say, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." He has to put it in black and white for them. He says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." So he says unequivocally, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. He is who he says he is. Believe him. Listen to him. Take it into your hearts. But I got to be honest here. The disciples saw this. They saw Moses and Elijah. They saw Jesus dazzling white, whiter than anything they could have imagined. They hear God himself speaking through the clouds. I hate to say it, but I think the disciples still were baffled. I think the disciples still hadn't internalized in their hearts everything that they had experienced. Was this really happening? Were they dreaming? Was it a delusion? What was it? And then just like that, the scene was over. Verse 8 says, suddenly when they looked all around, they no longer saw anyone there but Jesus. Complete and utter shock. Awe. Disbelief. Lack of understanding. And here's the kicker for me. Verse 9 says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Can you imagine having an experience like that? Seeing Jesus in dazzling white, talking to Moses and Elijah, hearing the voice of God come down and speak to you, but you're not to tell anybody. Can you imagine that? Not to tell anybody. And so they said in verse 10, they kept their word. It says, they kept the matter to themselves, discussing with each other what rising from the dead meant. And so this is a question I've always had. Because if you've read the Gospel of Mark, you'll know that there were a lot of instances. And throughout the miracles that Jesus did, throughout a lot of things that Jesus did, he said to the disciples, shh, don't tell anyone. Shh, don't tell anyone. So why? Why would Jesus tell the disciples not to tell anyone? Why would he do that? Because we as Christians, we're told to share our faith, right? We're told to tell everybody. I mean, we sing at Christmas, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We're supposed to tell everybody. So why the secrecy? In my mind, as I look at this, there are two reasons that Jesus makes this request of the disciples. And let me share with you the first one. The first reason that he tells them to not tell anybody is because everything is yet to happen. Jesus has not yet been crucified. Jesus has yet to rise from the dead. It'd be like telling a joke and then not telling the punchline, right? It'd be like telling a story but not telling you the end of it. Jesus knows there's more to be done, that people need to hear not just part of the story, they need to hear the whole story. So he tells them not to tell. Not yet. But here's the second part. Here's the second part. And I think that this is the important part. I think this is the one that we need to grasp. I think the second reason that Jesus tells them not to tell anyone is because they don't fully believe yet. They don't fully have enough faith to be able to really articulate just what's happening. They don't fully believe. And so I think about that. What it means to not fully believe. Maybe we have some of those same struggles in our lives. Do we yet fully believe that Jesus is who he says he is? The Son of God, the Messiah, and the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. And so I think about that. And I think about the ways that we struggle with our faith. And then I go back to the disciples again. And so if 12 people who walked beside Jesus for 3 years are struggling with their faith, how much would we struggle if we walked by the Messiah and we still struggle with our faith as the disciples did? I think if we're honest, we all do at times, don't we? And so I think about some of the different ways that we struggle, and it makes me think about Matthew 22. When Jesus had to retreat and get away for a little while from the disciples, to get away from the crowds, so he went away to a faraway place near the mountains, and he prayed. And so the disciples in the morning, they got in a boat, and they went into a pond. And so Jesus went to meet with them. And the way Jesus went to meet with them, he didn't have a boat. So the way he went to meet with them was to walk on water. And so in Matthew 22, he was walking on water, and the disciples were afraid once again. And Jesus says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And so Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus says, and here's what happens next. Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking, and he's walking on water just like Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the winds came. The winds blew, and it scared him. Peter started to sink, and so Jesus grabbed his hand and he pulled him up and he said, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? And so I think that it's sometimes easy for us to believe when the storms are calm in our lives. But when we face trials, when we face tribulations, when the winds and the storms blow against us, that's when our faith wavers, doesn't it? Then I think of an important question that Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus wanted to know what they believed. He wanted to know before he sent them out into the world to proclaim his name, to proclaim what he did. And so in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13, Jesus asks the disciples a very pointed question. He says, "Who do the people say that I am?" The disciples reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked them the pointed question, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And so he got it. He had it in his heart that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And so Jesus says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." And so I think this part's really important. You see, Jesus had to get a confession of faith from the disciples to build his church. He had to get a confession from Peter, who said, "I believe you. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are who you say you are." So upon Peter, upon that rock, he will build the church. And so that is our foundation. The foundation of who we are as Christians is what we believe. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we don't believe that he was the Messiah that rose from the dead and saved us from the power of sin and rose again on the third day, then we're nothing more but a glorified social club. We have to believe. Our beliefs, our faith is the foundation. It's what sets us apart. It's what makes us different from the rest of the world. It is what we believe. So I want to pose to you an important question. The same question that Jesus posed to the disciples. What do you believe? Do you believe? Have you internalized it deep in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords? Has God been shouting at you from the clouds that Jesus is really who he says he is, but yet you still haven't heard? You've heard it over and over and over again that Jesus is the Son of God. But yet, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And so in just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate a baptism. We're going to celebrate that in Benjamin's life, that Jesus died and rose again to save him from sin, that he will be raised as a child of God to lead a Christian life, to be nurtured in the faith by all of us. And it's a tradition in every baptism that we recite the Apostles' Creed. And we're going to be doing that during the baptism. It's on page 35. And the Apostles' Creed gives us what we believe. What we believe about Jesus Christ, what we believe about God the Father, what we believe about the Holy Spirit, everything he did for us. We are going to confess that. And also, starting on February the 19th, we're going to have a Bible study about the Apostles' Creed and what it is that we believe as Christians. We're going to explore that together, and our series is going to be about that in the preaching. What is it that we believe as Christians, and why do we believe it? So I want to challenge you in this Lenten season to really explore what it is you believe, to explore what it is that you have faith in, knowing that Jesus really is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who took upon himself the sins of the world. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times in which we struggle. There are times in which we struggle with our belief. We struggle whether we truly understand whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, who took upon himself the sins of the whole entire world. Lord, help us to understand that truth better than we ever have. Lord, those disciples saw your son Jesus dazzling in white, talking to Moses and Elijah, where you spoke out of the clouds saying that Jesus is your son, that we should believe in our hearts. Challenge us to believe fully this day. O Lord God, if we have strayed, if we have disconnected, if we have fallen away, help us to draw closer than we have ever been. Lord, we know that there are trials and tribulations. Lord, we know that there are times that we are going to struggle. But Lord, your hand is always there to pick us back up, to dust us back off, and to put us on track. And so, Heavenly Father, help us in our unbelief. Help us when we lack the faith that we need to have. Help us, O God, to know deep in our hearts that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to know that truth in such a way that our light will shine for all the world to see, that we can share with others about Jesus the Messiah, that we can share with others that he saved us from the power of sin, that has given us the gift of grace, and that we all have a share in the kingdom of heaven and with eternal life. So Lord, let us hold fast to this truth, and let us keep it deep in our hearts. And it's in the name of your Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord, that we pray. Amen.